It's KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Well, have you deleted your Facebook yet? Last week, alarm bells were ringing as we learned about the data Facebook has on us and what they can do with it. We found out that a British marketing company used Facebook data to build personality profiles of its users. This marketing firm, Cambridge Analytica, would sell that personality profile to politicians like Donald Trump, promising that this information could win votes. But was that ever really true? Can Facebook data swing elections? Are they that good? Our next guest knows a lot about ad targeting. Antonio Garcia Martinez helped Facebook figure out how user data can point ads at you. He now writes for Wired Magazine. Welcome, Antonio.
Thanks for having me on the show.
What is this supposedly powerful information that Cambridge Analytica got from Facebook users?
Yeah, I would maybe take a little bit of issue with how powerful it was. What Cambridge Analytica did was it effectively paid users to opt into what's called a Facebook app. And with that app, in addition to the sort of personality quiz they had you take, they sucked out, it's not exactly clear, but more than likely it was your Facebook likes, basically the pages you've liked on Facebook. And then they built a model that in some sense tried to correlate things you'd liked with one of five personality types, which in turn was correlated with views on particular push-button issues like immigration, guns, Trump, Brexit, et cetera. So that was sort of what they were trying to mush together with the data that they effectively stole from Facebook.
Yes, you use the phrase mush together, which suggests your skepticism at this whole idea that your likes and other data really tells companies so much about you. Tell us why you're skeptical.
Well, because, this is already a settled issue. I mean, this is what we realized when I was at Facebook in 2011, 2012. We were trying to milk Facebook user data for all it was worth. I mean, that was my mandate. And the conclusion we came to is that some Facebook data is, you know, good but basic. Age, geography, gender, for example, tends to be fairly accurate, but that's not very powerful by and large. Things like, you know, Facebook likes, the fact that you've liked BMW's page, say, 2 years ago, doesn't mean you're actually about to buy a BMW. That's the reality of it. And so, I mean, it's precisely because that data kind of doesn't work in the way that these advertisers want that we launch products that advertisers definitely do use. And in fact, the Trump campaign did use to try to reach voters. And it's a thing called custom audiences and a few other tools. And there, it's really not Facebook data that's being used to target you an ad. Facebook is really just doing a join to outside data. I mean, the political case, voter rolls, donor records. In the more sort of mundane commercial case, websites you've looked at, your email address, for example. And so the outside advertiser then joins to Facebook, but it's really not Facebook's data that's being used to target you with an ad, because by and large, Facebook doesn't have that data. It doesn't know what's in your shopping cart at Amazon. It doesn't know what car you drive. It doesn't know what groceries you bought at Safeway. And so that's why, you know, the argument that Facebook can just swing an election based on its own data, it kind of rings hollow to a lot of advertising professionals.
So are you saying Facebook users ought to calm down and not worry about this?
Well, I mean, depends what you're worrying about. Yeah, I don't think if we're going to make a movie about this, I don't think Facebook is the bad guy, right? I mean, I think, there's definitely a sort of user reaction against browsing on the internet for a pair of shoes, and then you instantly see that same pair of shoes inside Facebook. And the first conclusion they jump to is, oh, Facebook knows everything I do. I mean, in that actual case, and this is literally what happens, Facebook doesn't actually know that you browse for shoes, but it does build technology that allows an advertiser to stick an ad in there. And so if you're really worried about that sort of thing, the reality is you should be worried about, you know, the Amazons or the Zappos or the various other players in the world. Facebook, at the end of the day, it's really kind of a paid messaging platform. It's not, I know that it's hard to kind of break the connection between the ad and the Facebook logo you're staring at on your phone, but the way advertising works, those two aren't necessarily coupled in the same way that people think they are.
What about the concern we heard? I interviewed last week a computer scientist who helps build AI, artificial intelligence profiles, and she said she regularly gets requests from companies who want to buy data that will suggest that you are more likely to be depressed, be addicted, have a pre-existing medical condition, that companies, they seem to be confident about this information because they want to buy tools that tell them who they might steer away from hiring. Are you saying that's all it would be a waste of money?
Oh, yeah. I mean, here's the reality. In advertising technology, it doesn't actually have to work. for you to be able to sell it, right? I mean, Cambridge Analytica evidently had a whole business in this. That doesn't mean that it actually works, right? I mean, here's the problem with what that academic says, right? I mean, Cambridge Analytica's work was actually, you know, built on peer-reviewed academic research, right? And that's one area, you know, I'm not a trained psychologist, I'm not going to comment on that. But what I do know about is the actual targeting side of it. How do you actually do something based on that model, right? No matter what the model is, whether it's a personality quiz or something as simple as saying, hey, look, here's my model. I think people with lots of money who want a BMW will buy a BMW, right? Very simple model. I could go out and ask 100,000 people a poll and ask them to give me their tax returns, and it turns out that my model predicts better than random chance that, in fact, rich people who want BMWs will buy BMWs. But what do I do with that? How do I find a rich person on Facebook? How do I find an interest in BMW on Facebook? You know, the Facebook likes just don't get you there. You'd need some other piece of data. You'd need the dealer records, for example, from either BMW dealerships or comparable dealerships. You need some outside data that Facebook doesn't know. And that's, in some sense, you know, why me and other people express a lot of skepticism around Cambridge, because fine, you know, you paid people to take a quiz and maybe you can surmise something about their personality. But what do you do with that? How do you find a neurotic person on Facebook? The challenge is the same, right? And it's actually not as easy to do as either Cambridge Analytica let on in their sales pitch, obviously, or as I think the media is describing right now.
What is your evidence that these personality profiles are so wrong? I mean, are you finding profiles about people you know perfectly well don't match that profile at all?
My proof is that nobody uses them, right? I mean, talk to any marketer who spends money for a living on Facebook, and psychographics, which is sort of the marketing buzzword for this, is not commonly used as a tool on Facebook. I mean, I have written for Wired about the tools that Trump most certainly did use to swing the election. And again, those are based on having outside data like voter rolls, knowing who donors were, for example. Those, you know, I'm not saying Facebook advertising is ineffective. It absolutely can swing an election or get you to buy a pair of shoes, surely. But I don't think some convoluted, you know, psychological model in which you're using Facebook's weakest targeting data to model this convoluted thing, which maybe is associated with this other thing. I don't think that most people who actually buy and sell ads for a living kind of buy that story.
Okay. Cambridge Analytica did not help get Donald Trump elected president.
I do think Facebook did, to be clear. But yeah. Cambridge Analytica in particular, no.
Yeah. We're talking with Antonio Garcia Martinez, and he wrote this piece for Wired magazine about his skepticism of our concern about personality profiles and Facebook data scraping. So Facebook announced today, I just saw, that it's updating its privacy settings. Should we trust Facebook on that?
Well, I'm laughing because they do this like every year or two.
Yeah, basically. That's what I thought.
No, you're absolutely right. That's an absolute. If your listeners are thinking, hey, isn't this? Haven't I heard this before? It's true. They have. You know, that's it's a good and a bad thing. Look, I mean, what they've changed is they've made the user interface kind of easier and more intuitive, right? Here's the perennial problem, and this is true if you went back to Facebook even before the most recent change. Users could have locked down their data from Cambridge Analytica's data snooping. The tools have always been there, right? It's just users tend not to understand or not care, frankly, until the crisis happens, how privacy works on Facebook. And so what they just launched, at least from what I can tell, is nothing, it's not at all different. Nothing's really changed fundamentally with Facebook's privacy tools. They're just easier to find, and they're kind of prompting you to kind of, hey, look, maybe you kind of want to lock down your data if you really care about it. But yeah, I mean, nothing's really fundamentally changed.
So Antonio, have you gone into those tools and changed your profile and used all those settings so you're safe, or have you deleted your Facebook app? What are you doing?
No, because again, I'm not particularly protective of a lot of the personal data on Facebook, because again, it's not used that much to actually target ads. I think people just don't understand that the actual attack vector, if they're really paranoid, believe it or not, say, for example, when you go to Safeway and you use your Safeway discount card, which is keyed by a phone number, they're tracking you via that. They're absolutely tracking you via the fact that you just bought diapers or beer or whatever. That is being used on Facebook. Facebook doesn't know that, but Safeway does, right? Or, you know, you can name many other retailers. So there's all these other touch points where, in fact, you're being tracked. And I think it's hard to escape the conclusion that I think Facebook is serving as kind of a scapegoat for all these worries and concerns, because it's this one company that's being kind of trumped up by the media. But again, this, at least in the United States, this tracking is kind of ubiquitous, and it's hard to escape unless you live in a cabin in the woods.
You used to work for Facebook, right?
Yeah.
You're not getting paid for them now, though. Paid by them. I'm just checking.
Oh, no, of course not. Are you kidding? My book, are you kidding? I broke all codes of silence and, in fact, was very critical in my book. No, there's no old Facebook guy kind of supporting the old company here. I mean, I do think there are reasons to criticize Facebook and how they dealt with the scandal, frankly. I mean, I think it took them a long time to react, right? They knew about the Cambridge Analytica thing for at least 2 years. I mean, the story broke a few weeks ago, but it's been around for a couple of years.
Yep.
And I think you can definitely criticize Facebook about this. I mean, the company I knew, frankly, what surprised me, if you're asking me as an old Facebooker, the thing that surprised me is how sort of passive Facebook was in the face of a potential data breach. The company I knew would have acted very aggressively with any outside company that seemed as if it was either misusing or hoovering out Facebook data. Because again, even if you assume Facebook is perfectly evil, and I know there are many people who do, they have no interest and having their data get stolen or selling their data in the sense of giving it away to somebody else. I mean, that is what's propping up their, you know, $300 billion market cap. They have no interest in having that get out. So the company I knew was way more aggressive about clamping this sort of thing down. And it does kind of surprise me how long it took them to shut down Cambridge Analytica.
Mark Zuckerberg said that Facebook and other tech companies should probably be more regulated. What kind of regulations do you think we'll actually see?
I think that's actually a good point. I actually would, you know, this, I think one of the key things here, one of the key reasons why people are really freaking out about it and why they're sort of suddenly learning about these technologies now. I mean, everything that I just mentioned, custom audiences, all that stuff is at least 5 years old. There's nothing new in terms of Facebook's ads offering here. But I think that the key thing is that, you know, politicians are suddenly starting to use the same very savvy, somewhat invasive ads targeting strategies that the commercial world has used for years. And I think people react very differently when those techniques are used to sell you a pair of shoes versus when they're used to sell you Trump, right? That's the big deal. And so it's clear to me, I think, that, you know, the political world is fundamentally different than the commercial world. It is the case that, for example, not on the internet, but on TV and radio, there actually are very prescriptive rules about how political advertising works. And if those rules were extended to the internet, you know, I don't think that would be a bad thing. In fact, that may just be what Facebook needs, to be honest. And so to the extent that we control how that data works on the political side, there should be regulation there. Maybe even something like an equal time, equal cost rule as exists on the TV side. I think all of that is definitely worth exploring in the context of Facebook.
So bottom line, Antonio, any advice for listeners? We're wondering, what should I do? I want to be secure. I want to get the stuff I want online for free. What should we do?
Right. That's the key thing, for free. Right. Facebook is not free to provide. It's something like a quarter of the internet in terms of bandwidth, and it's very expensive to maintain. I don't know what to tell that listener. If you have a problem with giving away some of your data in exchange for a free and entertaining media experience, then you're not going to like the 21st century very much, because the reality is that on the consumer internet, advertising still reigns as the leading business model, and I don't see that changing. So I think the only thing I could say is, I don't know, get used to it, maybe.
Even if I did delete Facebook, just very quickly, and if I didn't delete Instagram and WhatsApp that they also own, would it make any difference if I deleted Facebook?
No, it won't, actually, because a key part of Facebook's thing is that it knows who you are in every device you touch. And so if you're actively using Instagram, they're still going to track you. They're still going to join you to all this custom audiences tracking that I'm talking about. That all still works on Instagram as well. I think they're holding up Facebook as a scapegoat. Google does all of this as well. The Apple and Android app ecosystems leak data like crazy. Everyone knows this. I mean, this is happening kind of everywhere in the online space. But for some reason, again, Facebook seems to come up as the bad guy usually.
Okay, get used to it, says Antonio Garcia Martinez, who now writes for Wired Magazine. He's a former Facebook manager for ads and the author of Chaos Monkeys, Obscene Fortune, and Random Failure in Silicon Valley. Antonio, thanks a lot.
Thanks.